Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
This is our first Sunday this morning without Miss Kathy. And for me, I was kind of hanging out back here a little bit this morning, and I would usually run into Kathy back there, and it just felt different not having her back there. And I felt like their service feels a little bit different. I just want to recognize that. Transitions of any kind are always tricky, and sometimes there's just fog in transition. And so as we're transitioning, I just want to let you know how many phone calls and personal meetings that we've had with myself and Andrew, Alyssa, Greg, calls to different people in the church or who have sung music or have been in the choir, just trying to figure out our next move and our next step. Remember, this was not a move that we anticipated. There was no asking Kathy to move on. We actually asked Kathy to stay multiple times. But she just knows that now is the time for her to transition. Last year, or maybe it was even about 18 months ago, as she retired from Taylor University, this is one more step of her retirement, and she is enjoying that, and we celebrate her in those transitions that she's making, but we're just figuring out what that's going to look like for us, and so hold tight, we're going to figure it out, but here's the goal of our music. It's not a style. The goal of our music is to engage the presence of the Lord, and to see God for who he truly is, and to encounter the glory of God. And any other goal outside of that is just far less of what it should truly be. That we're not contending for styles. We're not even contending for census or for consensus. We're just contending for unity in the body as we together just chase the throne room of God. And that we want to see him and behold him. And if that's my favorite song or it's not, and if we hit the right note or not, we're going to go after God with everything that we have, right? And so that's the number one thing that we're after and that we want to continue to go after. This week, this time last week, I was able to preach this message on commitment to my grandfather and grandmother as they sat right here in the second row. And it was wonderful. And I felt like so much of it for the last nearly four decades of my life were little bite-sized messages that my grandpa had put into me. And he is always this, you know, have the plan and work the plan. And he was this guy that was always kind of my pregame, halftime, fire you up sort of a speech sort of a guy. And I know that he's instilled that into his kids and now into his grandkids. And at the end of the service, I just asked if anybody wants to re-up their commitments to the Lord, their commitment towards their marriage, towards one another, their commitment towards their community or towards their church. Would y'all just stand with me, was the question. And I closed my eyes as I began to pray, and I was pacing back and forth. And this wasn't a good, like, trusting your pastor move because my eyes were closed, and maybe you were, like, hoping that nobody would have their eyes open. But I just peeked real quick. I wanted to look at my grandparents, and they stood to their feet, and they said, yes, we want a deeper commitment with Jesus, a deeper commitment to one another and to our marriage, and it was awesome as they stood together, and we prayed that we would just have a deeper commitment. I go to the back of the sanctuary or the front of the church. It's always the front or the back. I'm not sure which one it is. Right there. And I'm greeting people as they're leaving, and I hug Granny and Grandpa, and Granny hugs me, and then she pats me on the bottom. And she says, so I'll see you tonight. And we had our family Christmas that night. And we all were there, and we have our family. A third of our family lives in Ohio, and a couple of them are here this morning. My Uncle Mike and my Aunt Diane. Diane is my grandparents' daughter. And we all gather together that night, and Grandma and Grandpa had done all their preparations with food and gifts and all of their sort of fun things that they do. And the grandkids are running around being too loud and all those things for grandparents. And then we all gathered and we did this gift exchange. And after our gift exchange, we gathered for a family picture. And we just took some pictures. And not knowing that that picture would be a picture taken within minutes of my granny going from our family to be with Jesus. Probably 90 minutes. Probably within an hour and a half, she was going to leave the party and go home. And as she went upstairs to get ready for bed, and my grandpa was cleaning out the car, bringing things in, he hears this kind of noise in their bedroom. And he goes upstairs, and Granny had fallen. And he does what a good grandpa husband would do. And he grabs a cold, wet cloth, and he begins to wipe her face, trying to wake her up. And my aunt and uncle, Jay and Amy, had been running over to the house to drop off some food, and he yells for them to come in. And Amy is the respiratory therapist, and she begins to work on Granny, doing CPR. And there was no getting Granny back. And Granny was gone quickly. And she was just with our family. And in a moment, she's with Jesus. The transition, so surprising and shocking. I mean, she was fully alive. And she's a part of the Lions Club and in church and going to our rockers. And it's not like she was, like, failing. She wasn't in a nursing home. There was no body breakdown. There was no dementia, mental breakdown. I mean, she was Granny to the end. And our family is incredibly grateful that she finished with an exclamation point, this woman. She died fully alive. My granny is like the epitome of Upland. I mean, she is small town, country girl, no grand plan for life, but she just maximized every day. And there's a way to maximize life, not by a grand plan, but to maximize every moment, and then you end up with this grand life. To measure how long someone's life is fairly easy because time is measured in minutes. But to measure how long someone truly lived is tricky. It's hard because life is not measured in minutes, it's measured in moments. And these moments where you seize moments and you give it your all, you give it your zest and your gusto. And Granny was one that had some gumption for life. And she went for it, and she went after it, in whatever it was. And this morning, I've got the spirit of Granny on the inside, and I just want to share some ways on how we can get after life to maximize each moment. You see, there's a reason why 75% of New Year's resolutions fail within the month of January. Because a week is long enough to make a commitment, a month is pretty tough, and a year, forget about it. And so how do we daily, with discipline, direction, determination, own this day? I want to own today. And if I can make daily commitments to myself, to my family, to the Lord, to my community, I can do that. I can max it out for one day. And then tomorrow, I'm going to re-up my commitment. I'm going to max it out for one day. And I'm going to max it out for one day. And also, I focus on this. Instead of making New Year's resolutions and New Year's goals, I don't want to just focus on goals. I just want to focus on some new behaviors in my own life. And I know that if I can just shift some behaviors, I know that I'll accomplish some of those dreams and some of those goals. But I just got to get back to the simplicity of how I act day in and day out. And I want to do it the way that Granny did it. Because Granny did it well. This man by the name of Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall is a two-time Olympian. He is he's the fastest American to ever run the marathon and the half marathon. He said this: "Those who have never run a marathon might find it surprising that the scariest place to be when running a marathon isn't the dreaded wall at mile 20. It's the starting line. Why? Because the runner is overwhelmed by the difficulty and the scope of the road ahead and has lost touch with the present moment. This morning, I want to talk about just starting. We just got to start. And you got to start somewhere. And what better of a way than to start on the first Sunday of a brand new year? And what is not just a new year, but a new you look like as we look into this next year? We just got to start moving. And so we want to read this passage of Scripture. This is in 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'll have it for you here on the board. 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, it says, "Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay we here until we die?'" Let's just stop right here. There's four men. They find themselves in a tough situation. They have leprosy. They have to live outside of the city gates. If you had this disease of leprosy, you were not allowed to live in the community. You had to be quarantined outside of the community. And I don't know if they had to wear masks and get shots or not, but you were not allowed to be around anyone else. All right? So there was a government-mandated quarantine. Get out of here. You can't live next to us. And so there's four of them that are all just kind of hunkered in it together. They've got this leprosy. And they're outcasts, they're lost, they're displaced. The circumstances of life have uprooted them in whatever has happened, and now they're displaced and lost. There was a death that happened in the family, and now we just feel a loss, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a child. There was something that happened in your life, and your world is spinning. And there's not a whole lot of people around that maybe understand your situation or care to take time to understand your situation. And so you're just kind of out of the loop, right? Something tough has happened, and now you're outside of the city gate. And all it took was one of them to ask the question, "Why are we going to just sit here until we die?" I want to encourage you with this. If you find yourself in those situations, you've got to have a tribe around you. You've got to have a few friends that can sit in that thing with you at least for a minute. Not that we just camp out in that, but that somebody can join in my grief and in my pain and help me get out. Okay? If you isolate, isolation is a very dangerous place. It gets dark, it gets hard. It gets depressive and heavy. We get disillusioned. We start reinterpreting history, and it gets really, really confusing in those places. I cannot live in the dark. I can't live on an island. I've got to live in the light. And so one of these guys asked the questions, "Guys, what are we doing here? Just scratching our boils all day? Is that how we're going to end? Is that how this thing ends?" And we're looking at this marathon ahead, and we're thinking, "I'm overwhelmed by these 26 miles ahead of me." I'll just tell you this, you just got to start. And so, verse 4, "If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and then we're going to die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, then we're going to die." Okay, guys, here's our options, okay? We could sit here and die. We could go into the town and die. We could go over to the other camp and die. Guys, we're dead. We're dead men walking, okay? And so we have some options. Where do we want to die? There's one chance of life, and it's to go to the enemy's camp, and maybe we just surrender, but they'll keep us alive in prison. Maybe that's our only option. And when you're looking around for options, guys, they might seem pretty bleak. And the options might not seem awesome around you, but the option of sitting in it is not the right option. Just camping out in the pain and in the hurt and the isolation and the confusion, or just prolonging dreams. I've had this dream in my heart since I was a little girl, since I was a young man. I've always wanted to do this, but I just never acted on it. I never started. I just sat here in it. And now the heaviness of the pain and the regret and all the disillusionment is just sinking in, and my spirit is depressive. It's even oppressive on me. There's a heavy weight upon me because I never started. The options were too scary. It was to risk financial bankruptcy. It was to say something that might stir something up in the family. It was to risk my own pride by humbling myself and coming before someone and asking for forgiveness. I don't know what those starting points were for you. Perhaps you lost someone very significant and you didn't want to go back into that room. You didn't want to clean out that closet. Maybe a starting point is just going through their stuff. in the garage. And that's hard. But I'll tell you, it's a good heart. Maybe you've lost that connection with your daughter, and what you need to do is call her up and ask her out for coffee. And it's going to be hard. But that's a good heart. You need to call your son up and you need to ask him to go fishing. And that whole day is going to be awkward and weird. And it's going to be hard. But it's going to be such a good heart. What's the options? Just sit here and just let it die? What's the option that we have? Are we going to be in the same place again next year? And Brock's going to get up and he's going to talk about New Year's resolutions. And I hate New Year's resolutions. And I'm just going to skip that service because I'm still sitting here. I'm still in the same financial turmoil. I still carry around all that extra weight that I never was serious enough to get it over with. I'm still in that same spot in my marriage. All of our kids are so fractioned. Because we're going to be here again next year if we don't start today. We just got to start. You got to start somewhere, and not to prolong over the whole course of a year, but just own the day. And what can I do today that's going to help me break through? Y'all remember about 9 years ago, Indiana Yearly Meeting, we went through the reconfiguration process. And there's a whole bunch of churches that were confused on if the Bible is true. Do y'all remember that? And if the authority of Scripture, and if there's a such thing as a biblical marriage, things like that. To where Doug Shoemaker, our superintendent, said, we're not going to sit in this and die. We've got to make some tough decisions. And he says, this is what the Bible says, and we've got to go by it. This is the authority of Scripture. We've got to go by it. This is what God says is a biblical marriage. We've got to just land on that. And if you don't, then you're not a part of Indiana Yearly Meeting anymore. We love you. Bless you. You go do your thing. But this is who we are. And he had to make some tough decisions, but he says, we're not going to sit here and die. We got to start moving. We got to start walking. We've got to start doing something. And when he started doing something, I'll tell you, there was a unity that took place in the Indiana Yearly Meeting. There was a smile of God and a blessing of God that came down upon the churches. Sometimes it's some hard decisions that might be even some hard weeks, months, and even some hard years of getting some traction. But boom, I'm so glad that I started 5 years ago. 10 years ago. Don't you wish you would have started that thing 10 years ago? Then let's start it today. Verse 5. At dusk, they got up and went. One translation says, they got up and they started walking. Isn't that great? They got up and they started moving. There was some sort of movement that had to take place. And they went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. When you start the forward movement, good things happen. I want to show you guys this book that I'm in right now. And here's the book, and I've got the picture of it up here on the screen, but it's called Win the Day by Mark Batterson. This guy, we like him around here. It's Chase the Lion in a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. It's Circle Maker. It's the Wild Goose Chase. And so in this one, in Win the Day, Mark Batterson is talking about how to own one day of your life at a time, because 365 days of ownership is an extreme ask. But 24 hours, I can do that. And I can lock in on today and max out today. And he tells this story here on this page. I want to read it to you. He tells the story of the father of modern medicine, William Osler. And he says that William Osler, whenever he was 21 years old, he's in this class and he hears these writings from the Scottish historian Thomas Carlyle that changed everything. He says this, our grand business, undoubtedly, is not to see what lies dimly in the distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. 42 years later, Sir William Osler, because he was knighted because of all of his findings and research in medicine, delivered an address at Yale University on April 20th, 1913. Despite his distinguished credentials, Osler professed intellectual averageness. If you're ever speaking at Yale, you're not average, okay? But he had enough humility. He said his success was not the byproduct of innate intelligence or natural talent. What then could explain his success? Osler traced it back to the 22 words that had altered his outlook on life. He took those words, "Do what lies clearly at hand," and he put his fingerprints on them. Reflecting on his own insecurities and uncertainties, Osler issued a timeless challenge to those students. Live in day-tight compartments. Live within a day-tight compartment. Sometimes, over the course of a year, it seems like a really, really long time. But to live day by day, check this out. Jesus presented this. He says, give us our daily bread, that we would trust him one day at a time in a day-tight compartment. The expiration date on manna, it was for one day. The deadline on anger, by sundown. We better handle that anger. When God's mercies are made new, every morning. How often are we told to pick up our cross? Daily. And when we're told to rejoice and be glad, today. The 24-hour rule is everywhere you look. In fact, it's as old as day one. There was evening, and there was morning, and that was the first day. Here's the realities. People, I want us to max out our lives and not projecting for granny. She got 87 years, 6 months, and 16 days. She got over 46 million seconds. 46 million invitations from the Lord to max out your day. Max out your moment. Come on. Here's another second. Here's another chance. Here's another go. All your kids are in that freezing cold pool, and you don't want to get in there because you'd rather be comfortable than create a great memory. Right? And so, come on, let's go. 46 million invitations from the Lord. I know that your kids are outside of that really warm and comfy bed. But let's go. Let's live this life. Let's maximize this day. You get 24 hours today. Can you max it out? And maybe 24 hours is too much for you. Can you maximize the second that you have right now in the way that you're responding to the Word of God and the way that you're in worship before the Lord? Are you bored in the presence? That's not my style. I didn't like that. I don't know about all of this sort of stuff. Or say, Jesus, you're the one thing that I'm focused on in this moment. You're the one thing that matters, that I'm locked in right now. I don't like it the way my wife just responded to that. Jesus, I got to have the unity and the blessing of God upon my home. In Psalm 133, that God commands his blessing to come when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. So the goal is not my offense, me being right or me being wrong. The goal is unity because it demands the blessing of God to come upon. We're contending for something every moment, every second, every minute of every day. I'm contending for the higher life. I'm appealing for something much higher in my life. And if I can do that second upon second and minute upon minute, 87 and a half years later, I'm going to have a full and a rich life. I just will. A plus B will equal C. If I can maximize every moment, if I can push off offense and all of the lower landscape, all of the lower feelings, that I just want to dwell in this lower realm and I got to ascend and be seated in heavenly places and get a vision the way that the Lord sees them and have the compassion, the flow of the Lord, have the joy of Jesus on my spirit. There's just a different way to live. There's just a better way to live. And it's an anointed way to live. It's just a different perspective on how to live. And the Lord is just inviting you, come on, let's change your perspective. Let's just see things differently. There is a better life. And it's probably the way that he would tell us to live. And it's not submitting to the lower stuff. It's contending for something much higher. And so if we want to maximize life, it's easy to measure time. But to truly measure life is by measuring how many moments of life that we truly see. So I just want to encourage us, let's audit our outlook. Let's go through and let's do a serious auditing of the perspective that we have on life. There's this website, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but it's called deathclock.com. Anybody ever seen this? This is what the website looks like, deathclock.com. And what you can do is you can type in your birth date, you type in your body mass index, and it projects the day that you're going to die. Isn't this something? Here's something else. you actually get to pick the category of your perspective on life. Optimistic, pessimistic, sadistic. They give you options. And here's what's crazy, and neuroscience backs it up. I typed in mine, and it's something like 2066. You know, I got whatever that is, 45 years. Typed in Alyssa, she's got like 60 years. So I don't know, she's got like an extra 15 years to do something else with her life. Probably with someone else in her life. No, never, never. And here's what's fascinating is whenever I put optimistic, I got like another 45 years. Whenever I put pessimistic, it like cut it in half. They're saying, dude, you got maybe 2 decades. I put in sadistic, and it said your time has already ran out. It's over, dude, if that's your perspective. Because how you see things is how you live. How you approach things is how you live. How I receive the information, how I receive the surroundings of what's going on me, if I'm just going to sit in it and I'm just going to die. And you will die. The amount of stress that's on the heart, the amount of stress that's on the blood pressure, all that sort of stuff that's going on inside of your body right now, I'll just tell you, there's just a losing mentality and there's a winning mentality. And it literally does affect how long you will be on the planet. It just will. It just will. And this thing was freaky. What if we could reverse engineer? And instead of saying, I know that from January 2nd, 2022, what if instead I said, I know from September 19th, 2066, that's all the time projected that I've got. And I reverse engineer this thing. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't have forever. I got maybe 40 years and I better get to it while the getting's good. It puts this energy inside of me. For some of you, if you would do that, it might say you've got 10 years. It might say you've got 10 days. It might say you have already expired, bro. You're living on house money. You better be grateful right now because it is over. Who knows what it would say? I would encourage you to go check it out, deathclock.com, just to remind you, if you want to do it right now, we'll have an altar call in a minute. Say, Jesus, save me. Give me some more time, right? Here's a picture of my grandpa and grandma. The night. This is the night of. And she went from being in the arms of a really good man to transitioning to being in the arms of the best man that's ever been. She was with us. I hugged her. She pat my bottom. We squeezed each other. And then she's gone. To assume upon tomorrow is asinine. It's the chief of foolishness. James 4:14, who are you to even talk about tomorrow? All you've been given is today. Life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. And you have this moment. Do not assume that you're going to get 87 and a half years, people. The Bible would say you're foolish. You have today. Own today. Own this moment. Get it while you can. And so we want to live within these day-tight moments, right? Verse 7, he says, so they got up. They fled in the dusk. They abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was, and they ran for their lives. This is talking about the enemy camp of the Arameans. These four lepers walk into the enemy camp, and it says they heard the sound of a bunch of other armies, and so they fled. When we start moving, God starts acting. If we're just going to sit here, God's probably just going to sit there. We need to obey. We got to move. God has called you to do some stuff that you just haven't. And he's saying, come on, let's go. Let's get to it. And so when they moved, God started doing some supernatural stuff. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp. They entered one of the tents, and they ate, and they drank, and they said cheers, and they toasted one another. Then they took the silver, the gold, the clothes. They went, and they hid them. They returned and entered another tent, And they took some of the other things and they hid them also. Can you imagine seeing an entire camp and you're grabbing silver and gold? You're running back to the woods, hiding it. Hey, this is my tree. You're carving your name into that little tree. You run back into the tent. Man, I'm grabbing all these clothes. Oh my gosh, this guy, he like shops at really cool stores. And then you're grabbing all this cool stuff and you're taking it and you're hiding it back. Then they said to one another, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once. Report this to the royal palace. So they went and they called out to the city gatekeepers and they told him, we went to the Aramean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys and tents. They left as they were. The gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. And they all come in and they take the goods. I just want to tell you, there's good stuff on the other side of your obedience. There's a good life on the other side of your actions. And taking some really good, disciplined, determined, own the moment, own the day actions, it's just going to be a grand granny life. It's going to be a life that's full. It's going to be a life that's healed and whole and full and free. There's just some good, good stuff there. So as we're gonna pray this morning over our year, over 2022, but not in the sense of we're praying that we're gonna accomplish some goals, but we're just gonna pray that we would own every day and every minute. And I'm gonna take every thought captive. And I'm gonna own every emotion. I'm not gonna blame shift my life to anyone. I'm gonna own my life. I'm gonna own my attitude. I'm gonna own my day. I'm gonna audit my outlook. I'm gonna double down. I'm gonna triple down on my own life. I want to intensely go after this thing. I feel like one of those four lepers and saying, what I've experienced is pretty good. I just want to go tell everybody. It's not right that I would just keep this to myself. I need to tell you, there's good stuff out here. Love you, church family. I'll tell you, there's a cool sign of an established, mature church. Friday at my granny's funeral, because many of you came. It's a sign of a mature church. No one told you that you should come. You just knew that's what we should do. You just know to come. And you know to come and you bring food and you give hugs and you pat me on the bottom. It's a good church, and I'm thankful for this church. Thank you guys for loving us, for loving our family well. My aunt and uncle are down here, and I would love for you guys to love on them as you guys are getting ready to leave. My aunt lost her mama this week, and let's just love on her. Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? Jesus, I thank you for this church family. Jesus, and I thank you that you leave good stuff out there for us. And we're just going to echo these sentiments. Why are we sitting here until we die? But let's get up, people. Let's go. Let's start moving. Let's make some choices. Let's make that phone call. Let's give that forgiveness. Let's reestablish that relationship. Let's start pursuing better behaviors. We're going to accomplish a lot just by becoming more like Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that we would win the day. We would own the day. And that you would bless this year, 2022. Lord, that we would contend for you and the glory of God in our worship. That we would contend for the goodness of God in our behaviors and our actions and attitudes. That we would see the blessing of God come upon our church family as we begin to take some action. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.